Welcome to the Sunday AM podcast. We are a church located at the Carrick Centre in Ballincollig. Join us for prayer, praise, teaching and fellowship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m.
Well, good morning, everyone. Today is the first of a short summer series of questions that people like you have submitted about, questions on your mind or your heart or ideas that you want to learn more about. So this section from chapter 3 in 1 Timothy comes from Joel, who read it for us this morning. I thought I'd start by just a really brief little story. I've got some good friends who've been teaching me what it really means to be a Corkman. And they've been teaching me road bowling. And I tell you, I'm rubbish at this game. They're very kind and they're very patient and they're always encouraging, even when I throw that ball in a place it should not go. But I've been learning this game. It's been interesting for me. And it got me to thinking, I'm not often on the winning team, but I have a great time when I'm there anyway, which leads me to a question. Can we have the next slide, please? So what's more important? When you think about things in life, when you think about what's important to you or what's important in general, what's more important to you? For instance, I don't know if I can make this work. Next slide, please. Is it more important for you to win that game or enjoy the game? Some of us are winners. That's the whole point of the whole thing, isn't it? Why play if I'm not going to win? But there are others who are like, you know, I just enjoy the game. Whether I win or lose, it really doesn't matter. Which do you tend to fall into? How about the next slide? How about a new challenge? Learning something new, taking on a new challenge. It's hard, it's difficult, but I like that. Or maybe you'd rather just continue on in the things that you're already confident about. Do you love taking on new challenges, learning new things, or would you rather just continue on with the things you're already confident in? Next slide. How about realism and idealism? Are you a realist? That's what's important. Or maybe it's that whole idealistic thing. No, it's important to be a realist because that's just the way the things are, and you'll just get yourself all messed up if you start dreaming about the future. No, actually, those ideals, you know, dreaming about the future, that kind of thing, wow, that just puts energy into my life. Which kind of leads to the next one, ambition or contentment? Do you have ambitions, dreams, goals, hopes you strive for? Or do you feel it's actually more important just to be content? You know, sometimes it's not one thing or another, though. It's not just choosing one thing against the other thing, one option against the other option. Sometimes it's both. We want to win the game, and we want to enjoy it while we're doing it. You know, it's important to be a realist, but actually, if we didn't have those ideals, where would we be? I like to be content, but actually ambition is important. It puts fire and energy into things. And I think sometimes it's a both and in our lives. It's not just one set against the other. In this section, next slide please. This next section in 1 Timothy is just like that. Because what is being done here, it lays out two very important, vitally important things and puts them together. It's not one or the other, it's both that Paul says are vitally important. He lays them side by side. So the one is the importance of what we teach and believe. And the second one is how we live. Paul wants to make sure that his readers understand that both are paramount, both are important, both are essential. Not only what we say we believe, what we confess, but how we live that out. They're both of great importance. And verses 14 and 15 talk about the way we are to live. It's as if Paul is saying, if you're going to be a Jesus person, If a church is going to reflect who Jesus is, not just as individuals, but in their corporate life together, then conduct yourselves in a way that is consistent with the truth that you profess. And that's what verse 16 is about. Next slide, please. It's about that faith that we profess. And this little verse here may well be an early creed that was memorized and recited during times of worship as a faith community. It just lays it out so nicely. It's about the mystery of God, the great mystery, Jesus come in the flesh. It's about his birth. It's about his ministry during his time on earth, about his death and resurrection. It's just a very short, quick summary about the person and work of Jesus. Next slide. And then you have this little phrase, the mystery of godliness. What in the world is that about? The mystery from which true godliness springs. Well, it's actually just, it's about God's hidden program for humanity, but now made plain, made clear, made obvious, to bring godliness into the world through Jesus, through what he did, how he lived, in his work on the cross, in his resurrection. It's God's plan to bring godliness into the world, but it was a mystery. Now, this is not the first time we've run across this kind of language. You may remember in the past when we were working our way through the book of Ephesians, Paul brings this same thing up again about the mystery of God hidden in ages past, but now revealed, that none of the prophets, no one before Jesus could have understood or foreseen or predicted. But now it has become very clear and plain and obvious. Jesus come in the flesh, God's plan hidden in ages past, but now made plain to bring godliness into the world. Next slide. So what we say and how is monumentally important, and how we live is monumentally important. So what we say we believe and how we conduct our life must match. And to paraphrase Paul, next slide, I think he's saying this. Timothy, I want to make sure that the people who call themselves the people of Jesus, the church, I want to make sure that they know how they ought to conduct themselves and how they are to live and what they're supposed to do, so that the conduct of their life is in harmony with the faith that they profess. Now, let me offer an example. Manny has offered to come and help me with a little illustration this morning. And some of you are going to think that I'm obsessed with fruit, and I think I am. So Manny, I have a piece of fruit for you this morning. So here you go. So Manny, tell me about this fruit. What is it?
A banana.
A banana. Now what tells you it's a banana?
From the way it looks.
By the way it looks?
Yeah, feels.
The way it feels, yeah, okay. So everything about that banana, hold it up so we can all see, tells us this is a banana. It the outer appearance has a message. I'm a banana. Now, I'd like you to peel that banana and tell me what's inside. Look right here. Just right here. There you go. Peel it down. There you go. So show us what's inside. You found a banana inside. Isn't that remarkable? Thanks. You can have a seat. So the message on the outside matched the reality on the inside. That's what Paul's talking about. What you say you believe on the inside must match the outside character of your life. They have to go together. That's called integrity. And that's what he's appealing for here, is that there must be a harmony, an integrity. And I think at this point, well, we probably agree so far. There must be an integrity between what we say and who we are. Now, what if I had given him a banana, but instead he found this inside? What if you peeled that down and there was a carrot inside? You'd say, something's wrong here. Because the faith that is professed does not match the reality of what's inside. We'd all say, oh, there's no harmony there. Something's wrong. That's what Paul's trying to say. There must be that type of integrity and that harmony. Now, but here's the thing. Now, while both of these are monumentally important, they're not equal. Our example, the character of our life, the way we live it out, is always far more important than what we say with our lips. Our children, they will remember more about what we did and how we lived than what we said. I'm sure my children have forgotten 90% of anything I ever said to them, and they're probably good to forget it. But they don't remember a whole lot of that. But you know what they do remember? The stories. And most of them are stories about me and my foolishness. And they love to tell other people about their silly dad who did silly things. They don't remember much what I said, but they remember what I've done. See, it doesn't matter if we have taught our children perfectly about our faith or if we've communicated it perfectly to our children. What they will remember is how we have lived out our faith, not so much what we said we believed. It's not enough to say we believe certain things. It must match how we conduct our life. Because you know what's passed on to the next generation? Our example. What is passed on to our children? Our example. What's passed on to those coming on behind us? How we've lived our lives. A young man was writing a note to his mother on Mother's Day to express his appreciation to his mom. Mom, you have always set the example for me of being a servant of God and a servant of other people. I thank you for showing me what it means to love God and love my neighbor. You know what strikes me there? He says, you showed me. You didn't tell me. I saw it in your life. I saw it in the way you lived it out. But that's not always the case, is it? Sometimes a mother or father is anything but the example of godliness. And it's not just parents. If your boss at work tells you all the right things, but then goes on to do something else, which weighs more heavily on you? The words or the actions? Your coach has said all the right things to you, but then goes on and does something completely different. Which matters most to you, the words or the actions? How about, this is an easy one, how about politicians who will say everything you want to hear, but then they end up doing something that's very different from what they said? Which matters? And what do people we know, who are not yet in a saving relationship with Jesus, which will they carry more heavily as they consider what it might mean to be a Jesus person? Our words or how we live? So again, to quote the Apostle Paul, Timothy, I just want to make sure that the people who call themselves the people of Jesus, the church, that they know how they ought to conduct their life and how they are to live and what they are to do so that the conduct of their life is in harmony with the faith that they profess. Next slide, please. And one more, please. So here's my question for you this morning. And it's not just a question today, it's an everyday question. And it's not just a question for you, it's a question for me. It's a question for every single one of us. Will we be content to simply recite a creed like we find in verse 16? Or are we willing to live out that creed in the way that we live, that we conduct our lives, and how we live, and how we treat other people? The words that come out of our mouth, how we serve other people, how we love and care for other people. How we extend grace and forgiveness to people, even those who really don't deserve it. If we are able to show kindness to people who actually, they don't deserve kindness either. Or sacrifice. Sacrificing something that's important for us for the sake of somebody else's benefit. So are we willing to recite the words of the Creed and also to live it out in the way we live our lives? And I think that's the point the apostle's making in this passage. It's not just what we confess, but it's also how we conduct our lives.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to know more about the Sunday AM service, visit our website at www.cupcork.ie or follow us on Instagram at Sunday AM Cup Cork. Our church services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. in the Carrig Centre in Ballincollig.